Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Good. If you didn't have a father who set a good example of what fathering looks like, more than likely, that's the image you have of a father. And most people treat God like a distant God and not an intimate dad because they never had a father that they were close to. Come on. To connect to God as father, entire life. You can spend your entire Christian life just praying like a servant. But, some people even pray like a soldier. All these identities we talk about in the church, right? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, right? Or I just want to be a servant of God. Do you know that the prodigal son, when he was coming back home, he said to himself, the Bible says, I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. So if I can just be a servant, like the servants in my dad's house, maybe my dad will let me back in. And I think there's so many Christians today who chose to settle at that level. I'm just going to come and I'm just going to be a servant. I'm just going to wait on God. I'm just going to live a life of prayer. But when you're a son, you live from prayer. When you're a son, you live to bring heaven to earth because you know God is my dad. And he says that I can bring his kingdom here. It is the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. See, I'm not praying like an orphan. Orphans pray for survival. But when you're a son, you pray out of revival. I'm praying and I know I'm carrying something because I know who my dad is. See? My question, are you praying like a sinner? Oh God, I know I'm not worthy. I know I didn't live right. I didn't do everything I'm supposed to do. But Lord, I just ask that you would do me the favor, okay? It's a sinner's prayer. Sons are righteous. Position your identity in the Father's sight. The way God sees you, he sees you as a son. He doesn't see you like a sinner. Do you know that? The son called himself a sinner. And when he came home, it was the father who said, my son was dead, but now he's alive. Go back and read it, Luke 15. My son was dead, but now he is alive. And the Bible says, when the father saw the son afar off, the father ran to him, hugged him, kissed him. I missed you, son. I was waiting for you to come back home. Although you took the birthright and you wasted my grace, I was still waiting for you to come back home to meet me in the house of prayer. I was waiting for you to come and meet me. Some of you are staying so far away, like, God, you know, you once had a fire for God. You once were excited about God, some of you, and then you lost track of life and you got life, you know, stuff got in the way between you and God, and now you don't feel comfortable in prayer. But I'm telling you, I want you to see that image that as soon as you come back home, soon as you run to the Father and draw near to him, the Father is running to you. The Father is drawing near to you. And that's how excited, that's how anxious, so to speak, the Father is about spending time with us. As much as we say, I want to spend time with you, the Father is waiting to spend time with you. Hallelujah. The Father is seeking such who will worship him, who will give their lives to him and choose to surrender their lives to him. But I don't think you find the capacity to do it until you realize that you are loved. That's what you find out in the Father's room, how loved you are. Why? Because in heaven, family, the foundation of family is not perfection. It's acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. How do I know that? Because if I'm evil, know how to be good to my own kids, how much more does my father know how to be good to us? My daughter does not have to do anything to earn my love. My daughter doesn't have to do anything to deserve breakfast in the morning. And we think God won't give us certain things because we haven't lived to some standard of righteousness or holiness or perfection. But the Father is a good Father. We sing about it. He's a good Father. And the Father looks at us and say, listen, I love you and I accept you the way that you are. I know that doesn't look like what it looked like at home where you grew up. But in the Father's house, come as you are. Come as you are. Come on, who am I preaching to? Come as you are. I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. The Father didn't say, son, go up and wash up and clean up before I hug you. He was just in the pig's pen. He was just eating pig food. And he comes back home filthy, dirty, unclean. But the Father still embraced him, kissed him on his neck, and say, this is my son. I love him. I love her. Why? That's the Father's house. There's room for you in the Father's house. You don't got to pretend. You don't got to have everything right. You don't got to come in with a mask on. Come on. In the Father's house, you come as you are, and God loves you just the way you are. That's the Father's room. I could stay here for the next 2 hours, but I don't got time. It's just a Super Bowl, right? How many of you want to grow up in the Father today? Who want to grow up in the Father's love? The Bible says to know the love of God, which passes understanding, that we might be filled to the fullness of God. Perhaps we've been asking for more and more. We're asking God to fill us up. The only way you're going to be full of God is by being filled up with the revelation of how much God loves you. That's the Father's room. It's a place where not many words are necessary. It's a meditative room. It's a room where you have to spend time just to think about how good he is. Remember, he said, don't think you'd be heard because of your many words. In the Father's room, it's a time when you calm yourself down and you pay attention to the fact that God is a God who loves without limits. You think about his agape, right? Unconditional love. You sit there, and when you don't feel like you're worth loving right now, when you don't feel so lovable, just remember, God loves you without discrimination. He loves you without limits. Come on, that's what we're talking about. If your love, God's love, doesn't look like your love, man. It doesn't look like people's love. Your Father can love you perfectly because there's only one perfect Father. So we connect to God as Father. Amen. Number two, and then we come into the place of worship. Everybody say worship. How is that a place of worship? Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. It's simply your adoration. It's simply your praise. Hallow means to sanctify. It means to set apart. It means to separate and to separate for a specific purpose. When you worship him, in that place, this place of worship. Notice that relationship precedes worship, right? Father, relationship moves you into a place of worship. You honor him and adore him because you understand how loved you are. Religion tells you, you can't even enter into this room unless you're obedient. But I tell you, you enter into this room because you know how loved you are, and then it's easy to obey someone once you know they love you. Obedience is not hard, church. It's not hard to obey God. You just have to trust that he loves you and you got to believe how good he is. That's it. So you go into that worship room. Number three, you go into the declaration room. And it's a progression, right? Because the more you spend time in worship with God and the more intimate you become, more connected you are to him, what happens is that boldness and authority begins to become the natural result of intimacy. Do you realize that? You can then say things like, kingdom come, healing come, provision come, deliverance come. You can then begin to boldly declare things because you know your God and you know how much he loves you. So now after that place, when you get your heart all warmed up and fuzzy inside and you feel that sense of assurance and acceptance and confidence, say, man, God loves me so much, no good thing will he withhold from me, so I'm going to declare things and it's going to happen. Boldness is the result of intimacy with God. You see that? You ever realize that? You ever notice in times of worship, we start declaring things, right? You start getting this righteous indignation. That's what happens when you spend time with a person. You get more confident. So as I'm about to wrap up, God said to me, he said, listen, you can change the world. Worship allows us to change the world. As we worship, God brings us into a place where we can now begin to command things from heaven to come, and it'll happen. We can begin to declare things on earth to be on earth as it is in heaven. It'll happen. But that ability to do that stuff doesn't come until we spend time with him behind closed doors. So God said, I want you to take care of your intimacy with me. If you take care of your intimacy, I will take care of your influence. I will take care of your influence. Your ability to move things on earth. Your ability to command things, your ability to control, your ability to take possession and ownership, your ability to shift the earth realm, and your ability to cause things to happen. God says, I'll take care of all of that. You don't got to worry about power. You don't got to worry about authority. Just take care of your intimacy with me. You don't got to manufacture power. When you know who you are and your relationship to him, you don't got to yell on the mic to see things happen. Our sister here, stand up one more time. Did anybody yell at you when you got healed, when you got touched, when the Lord touched you? Did anybody lay hands on you? No? Nobody yelled at you, right? Nobody put a Bible on your head and say, be healed? All right, you can sit. She was in a room where everyone was worshiping. And in the middle of worship, her body got hot. And the presence of God came on her. And she was healed of lupus. Why? Heaven came to earth because of the worship. That's what your worship does, man. Now imagine you spend your day-to-day, your Monday and your Tuesday and Wednesday, spending just a little time with God. A little bit. Just a little bit. We spent the 2020 challenge, right? We said spend 20 minutes with God for 20 days. And the goal is not so that after those 20 days, you'll stop. But the goal is that you will create a new habit, a new lifestyle, where spending time with God and meeting him and encountering him, you won't just treat this book like a religious book. You're going to treat it like a relational book. You're going to understand that I'm reading this not out of religious sake, but I'm reading it because I want to know the author. I want to know the author. I want to grow in the understanding of who my father is. And the more I know who he is, the more I can get to know who I am. Your purpose is made clear. Your destiny is realized. You begin to realize why you're here on this earth as you spend time with him. It's more than just checking off a notch in your religious duty box. Every week I come to church and I show it up. God saw me, and I could go back home and make sure I got my ticket to on an airplane to heaven. This is about you knowing your Father. It's about you understanding your destiny, your identity, your purpose, and it's about you living like a son of God on the earth to see things in earth as it is in heaven. So let's all stand. We're going to exercise our faith. We're going to pray through each room really quickly. I didn't get to all of them because of the sake of time. But I said, remember, it's a progression. So as you understand how loved you are and that the Father is pleased with you, and the Father is excited about you, you'll start being able to move down this. So right now, let's start from the Father room. I want us to pray. I'm going to lead the prayer, and I just want you guys to pray with me down each room. And I'm just going to show you how you can spend time in each of those rooms. But I don't want you to get used to one room. I want you to learn how to flow in each one of those rooms. So starting from the Father room, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I repent. Come on, everybody. I repent from praying like an orphan, praying like a servant, and praying like a lost child. I'm not lost. I'm found in you. You love me despite of my flaws, despite of my imperfections. Your love is perfect. And I choose to spend time with you in this family. My brother Jesus taught us that we need to say our Father. Because you're not just Jesus' Father, you are my Father too. I am included in your family. I am accepted in the Beloved. The whole family in heaven and earth identify that you are our source. And like a good father, you provide, you protect, you cover, you bless, you name us. I'm named after you. No one else can call me any other name but blessed and highly favored because I'm your son. I'm your child. Father, I love you. I adore you. I bless you. And I want to be just like you. I want to be an imitator of you. My identity on this earth is that I am a loved child of God. Amen. And you can spend another few hours if you want there. But then we shift into worship room and we bless his name. Father, your name is the highest name. Above every other name, you are the rock. You are the source of our strength. Holy is your name. Holy are you, God. There is none like you. You are beautiful in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are a good father. And we bless you. We glorify you. We exalt you. Come on, come on, pray with me. We bless your name. We glorify your name. We lift your name on high. We acknowledge that in all of your names, the greatest name is Abba, is Daddy, is Father. In all the other names that you are. Hold on. Do you know that there are 365 names of God in the Bible? But the one revelation that Jesus brought to us was that he is Dad. We found that he's Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Adonai. You got to remember all those things, right? It's very complicated. But the only name you need to remember is Abba, Daddy. Father. That's all you need to know about God. Then you go to the declaration room and say, Lord, because I am a son, I can bring heaven to earth. I can decree something and it'll be established. It is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And because only sons can bring heaven to earth, I now decree and declare that the kingdom of God, the peace of God, the favor from God, the healing from heaven, the prosperity of heaven is now released into my life, into my city, into my circumstances. I will see your kingdom come. I ask boldly. I come boldly to the throne of grace. I will not let condemnation or guilt or shame keep me from boldly declaring my right and my inheritance to see the kingdom of God come. I release into this situation, into this room, into this moment, heavenly realities, heaven's realities into our lives. If anyone is sick in this room, I want you to declare that. If anyone is sick in this room, if anyone is sick in this room, I command healing to flow their direction right now. Loose your angels. Loose your healing angels to move all over this room and bring healing virtue into their bodies. We command cancers to dry up. We command cancers to dissolve. We command any other case of lupus to be destroyed. We command where there are fibroids, we command them to go. We command tumors to go. We command respiratory diseases to go. We command asthma to go. We command the lungs of every person in this room to be healed and healthy. We command the flu to fly away from us. We command that our bodies are blessed. Hey, our bodies are blessed. Our bodies are blessed. Our bodies are fruitful. Our bodies are strong in this season. Our bodies are strong in this hour. Hey, we thank you for your kingdom. Woo. And your expectation rises in prayer. Your anxieties are replaced with expectation. Because once you say a thing, you look for it. Once you pray for it, you look for it. Come on, I check my body. Like, oh, was I sick? Did I come in this place feeling weak? I'm going to check to see what I asked for. And then you go to the provision room. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I thank you for providing and meeting all of our needs. In Jesus' name. What comes after that? Our provision, forgiveness. Did you notice that forgiveness comes after provision? Did you notice forgiveness comes after provision? Meaning that God will provide for you even before you ask for forgiveness. Again, religion will make it seem like unless you're perfect or right with God, God won't provide. But Jesus said, I will ask for your daily bread and he will give it to you. And I believe even his provision and his mercy will move you to repentance and ask for forgiveness. So, Father, thank you. Say, Father, thank you for meeting all of my needs, my sins, or my mistakes, or even my disobedience does not delay your provision. You are good. And because of this, I choose to come under your perfect will for my life. We surrender to you. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' name. Now, as we end this series, I'm going to ask you from time to time throughout the year, how's your intimacy going? How's your intimacy with God going? Most of the times, I can tell by the look on your face whether or not you are truly spending time with God. Don't think a Sunday experience is going to do for you what Jesus said only the secret place is going to do for you. Your responsibility is to protect your intimacy with God. I'm going to go with him, spend time with him. And as I do that, he'll do a new thing. He'll do a new thing. He will release his kingdom to me. Amen. Raise your hands one more time. Woo! Glory to God. Shemaya.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.